Welcome to the first week of our new series for Advent and Christmas. We're calling it Miracles at Midnight. There are times when we all feel trapped in the midnight hour. The night is long, hope feels far away, it's tempting to think you're on your own. A while back, I was dealing with a difficult situation here in this parish, and I'd wake up every night at 1 or 2 in the morning, couldn't get back to sleep. I kept praying, pacing, reading, but nothing worked. And I felt so alone in the dark. This is how we can feel sometimes, alone in the dark. But I have learned that God does his best work in the dark. Just when the night feels longest, that's when his light suddenly breaks through. When he turns our darkest moments into our brightest miracles. Just as he did 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was born. Today I want to talk with you about something called the inflection point. There are times when your life can shift dramatically from negative to positive. You're in the middle of a dark period, but then suddenly the dawn breaks. The problem is solved. The disaster comes to an end. That's called an inflection point, the moment when everything begins to turn around. You move from a place of fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, struggle, lack, to a season of strength, from barely surviving to truly thriving. That setback you were dealing with just became a setup for success. A new job after a layoff, or freedom after a long struggle with addiction, healing after a disturbing diagnosis. When you reach that inflection point, that whatever you were going through, it becomes a powerful catalyst for your greatest victory. So always look for those inflection points. When you're in the dark, sometimes they're hard to see. Just when things are beginning to turn around, look for and embrace those inflection points because they are designed to launch you into the life you were meant to live. In today's first reading, the prophet Isaiah was writing during a time of political upheaval, moral decline, and great spiritual darkness, about 800 years before Christ. The northern kingdom of Israel was collapsing under the weight of a dangerous threat from the Assyrian Empire. The southern kingdom was wavering between trusting God to fight their battles and protect his people, or making human alliances to protect themselves with foreign nations that did not share their same values. There was a great deal of fear, mistrust, and uncertainty in the air. It was a midnight hour for God's chosen people. But in today's passage that we heard, Isaiah speaks of a turning point, a time when things would begin to improve. Suddenly, shockingly, he paints a vision of peace and restoration. It wasn't reality at that time. It was a prophetic dream, a true midnight miracle in its own right. Isaiah saw a day when all people, all nations would come together and worship the one true God, the Lord of heaven and earth. A day when military weapons would be turned into tools for farming. A day when the light would break and things would be better. A day when war would give way to worship. It hadn't happened yet, but Isaiah promised it was on the way. In his vision, he stood at an inflection point when night was just beginning to turn to day. God was telling his people, this is going to happen. I'm still at work. I'm still in control. My light is coming. But do you know what? He says the same thing to you and me even today. You or someone you love might be going through a dark time. You might be in a dark place right now. Nothing looks right. But rest assured, God has already written your turnaround story. Your miracle is already in motion. And I know it's easy to lose hope, to get discouraged and feel isolated when the night is long and the road is hard. But you know what I do? I look at Scripture. For example, Psalm 119 says, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night shall shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. The psalmist was saying, God is light, and when you walk with him in the dark, you are walking already with the light. You're walking with the light. He is there walking with you, the God of heaven and earth. You don't have to worry. He is walking with you in the light. You know, that trouble in your marriage, it's a long and lonely road, isn't it? It can feel like all the love you had once is dead and gone forever, but there is always a ray of hope. Or that darkness you're feeling, that depression, it feels like darkness is surrounding you or someone you love, and you'll never get out of that deep, dark hole. But again, look at what Scripture says. John chapter 1, verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Here's the key. You have to start walking in the light even before the sun comes up. You have to trust the bright future that God is preparing for you even in the middle of your present darkness. And when you look for that light, Jesus, the light of the world, when you look for that light and when you trust him in faith, you reach out to him in faith, his word will be a lamp to your feet and a light unto your path. You will find the light again. You will come into the light once more. In today's second reading, the Apostle Paul says, it is the hour now for you to awake from sleep, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The day is at hand. The night is advanced. The day is at hand. Paul was saying, the night is almost over. The inflection point has come. The sun is peeking over the horizon. You can't see it yet, but it's on the way. It's why we can have hope even in the dark. Paul was saying, don't get discouraged. Don't go back to sleep. God is about to do something new. No, get up, get ready, get dressed for the new day that's on the way. Throw off the works of darkness. Throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Live like it's already dawn, like the morning has already come. A couple of months ago, I met with a family who just lost their mother at a relatively young age, and as we always do when we're planning a funeral, I asked them to tell me stories about her life, and they shared with me one particular moment that every parent dreads. Her oldest son, David, was born with something like cerebral palsy. He had a hard time moving his muscles and maintaining his balance. And all through his life, he kept having to deal with health issues related to his condition. It was one thing after another. And then one day, he developed this blood clot in his pancreas, and it was serious. The doctors operated for hours, but they came back to the family and said, we're sorry, there's nothing we can do. David's organs have already begun to shut down. It's only a matter of time, and he won't even survive the night. Well, his mother and the entire family sat in the waiting room, devastated, as you can imagine, devastated. His mother tried to be brave, but there was so much grief. She kept thinking, how could this happen to my little boy? It was too much, and somewhere in that long, lonely night, she broke down into tears. But what she didn't know was that midnight, the darkest part of the night, had already come and gone. Morning was on the way. See, this is what God always does. He goes to work behind the scenes, even when it's dark outside, even when you can't see what he's doing, restoring damaged relationships, returning lost fortunes, rebuilding broken lives, breaking addictions, working out everything for the good, preparing miracle after miracle, working miracle after miracle, repaying good for evil, repairing what the enemy intended for harm, opening new doors, commanding new victories, healing the sick and raising the dead to new life. This is what God does in the dark. Miracles at midnight. But for David's mother, the grief was too much. The pain was overwhelming, and she lost hope. She kind of gave up. Her daughter, David's sister, kept encouraging her to stay in hope, to keep trusting in the long night, to surrender her fear and anxiety to the Lord of heaven and earth. She said, "Mom, God cannot heal David until you give David back to God," meaning surrendering control over the situation. This was her inflection point. She had a decision to make. Would she entrust her precious child to the God that she had never seen, right? None of us, I imagine, have ever seen face to face. Would she keep walking in the dark? Keep looking for the light? Would she stay in faith? These are the same questions you and I have to ask ourselves at every inflection point in our lives. When nothing's going our way, the problem seems too big, the trouble too great, this is when God tests our faith. He's asking, will you trust in me? Will you come to me in the dark? At about 3 a.m, David's mother finally surrendered, gave her baby boy over to God's care, said, "God, it's up to you." That was her inflection point, and she pushed past it with no sign of hope, no reason to believe. She put on the armor of light. She walked down the long hallway from the waiting room to David's room in the ICU. She stood there next to the bed, and the lights were off. It was dark, silent, except for the whirring of the machines going in the background. In that moment, in the dark, she had some holy water in her purse. She took it out and sprinkled some of it on her son's dying body. It was her last act of faith, a sign that she trusted God with David's future, his very life. Then she walked back down the hall to that awful waiting room, having no idea what would happen next. Early that morning, before the sun came up, David was still alive. The doctors couldn't explain it. They were shocked. They took him back to the operating room, expecting to see more damage to his failing organs over the long night. But instead, they came back an hour later, just as the dawn was breaking over the horizon, and they said, "We cannot explain this, but somehow David's organs healed overnight." The surgeon said this, "They are as pink as a newborn baby's." Today, David is not only alive, he's healthy, whole, and strong. The key to getting through your midnight hour is being prepared, getting ready spiritually, having that armor of light close to you, so that when the night closes in, you won't have to feel around for it, grope in the dark, light a candle. It'll be right there because you are prepared. This is what Noah did in a dark time. He was prepared. God told him to build an ark, an enormous boat, because a devastating flood would come upon the earth, destroying everything, and that ark would save save Noah and his family, would save all the animals, well, except the unicorns. I can't explain why they were left out, but anyway, his neighbors must have thought that Noah was crazy, right? Building a ship in the middle of the desert with no body of water nearby? What was he thinking? I can imagine them laughing, shaking their heads, saying, "David, Noah, what are you doing? What are you doing? There's not a cloud in the sky. It's not going to rain." But Noah wasn't crazy. He wasn't panicking. He was preparing. Everyone else kept living their ordinary lives, but Noah believed what God had said and acted on it without any sign or confirmation to prove it. And when the storms came and the floods rose, Noah was ready. He was prepared. In today's gospel, Jesus told his disciples, told you and me, to live like Noah, to be prepared, to stay awake, keep our hearts open and expectant. He said that he would come again one day at a time they would not expect. And he would come like a thief in the night. He wasn't trying to frighten them. He was trying to prepare them. He wanted them to live ready, not worried, waiting and watching, not fearful, because he knew that when we are spiritually awake, when we are spiritually prepared, then any surprise, good or bad, can be a setup for a great miracle. Any turn of events for better or for worse, can be the start of a new beginning. That's why Jesus told his disciples, make no mistake, or something similar to that. He said, be clear about this. If the master of the house had known the hour of the night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, because at a time you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. We all face times when life takes an unexpected turn. The darkness surrounds us. We feel lost in the night. But remember this. Jesus once said, you are the light of the world. And that's not just a beautiful metaphor. It's actually a divine design. I learned something in biology long ago. Did you know that deep within your cells, there are these small powerhouses known as mitochondria? They produce what are called biophotons, the tiny pulses of light, but they produce millions and millions and millions of them. It's a powerful symbol, a reminder that even at the darkest part of the night, when all seems lost, you're at your lowest point, God feels far away, you desperately need a miracle, you already carry the light within you. The same light that broke through the darkness of Bethlehem's night 2,000 years ago, the light of the world, burns quietly but powerfully in you. It may be small, dim, barely visible, but when you're prepared like Noah, when you're willing to surrender everything to God in the darkness like David's mother, when you stay awake, when you live like it's already morning, your inflection point will come, your miracle will be on the way. Because when you walk with God in the night, you're already walking with the light.